Hello everybody, welcome. This is Derek Gardner. I'm delighted you've joined me for this session on body language. I found body language a really, really, really important skill as I learnt my trade as a professional negotiator. And it was when I was working in the financial services industry, I did some small talks, as one does, to get a feel for it, to build up my own negotiating system from reading every book I could get my hands on, every tape, every CD program that I could get my hands on. And I found an interesting fact as I talked to people. I found that most people weren't aware that it was crucial to watch the body language of somebody when you ask them a question. You ask them a difficult question. So how much could you pay? Or what have you been offered from another client? Or some difficult question like that, that we all should ask as negotiators. And people that I was with weren't noticing people going back, people folding their arms, people rubbing their noses, etc. So I got really interested in body language at that stage. And I was with a client, and it was a £25 million loan. And we weren't convinced that the client could repay in 6 months' time, which is what he was telling us that he could do. And I said to him, are you sure you can repay in 6 months' time? And he went back, and he rubbed his nose at that point, and I thought, wow, there's really something in this body language. Now what am I going to do? Because he doesn't believe he can repay. I've picked up the signal he doesn't believe he can repay, and I've got to put this up to the credit committee, etc. Anyway, that's a story for another day, but that's how I really got into reading body language. Now, my plan today is to share some slides with you, some picture slides of that I use on my masterclasses and on my talks, and when I'm talking on body language. And we're going to put them up now and go for it. So if I can do that. Right. So this is the structure of the session tonight. Key principles: first impressions, observation skills, your space or mine, the silent signals, gestures, eyes, smile, deception, rapport, culture, fun, and summary. They're the points I wrote in this body language book that I wrote a number of years ago. And I'm going to see how much of that we can get through in the next 17 minutes. So, body language key principles. Number one, make sure your awareness and your radar is on to be watching the body language. People lie. It's five times more difficult to lie with body language than it is with the words. Then I'm going to talk about the psychology of how the brain works, why we don't pick it, why we don't pick the body language up when we're stressed, when we're under pressure, when we're tired, and also managing our own body in that. And then at the next session, we'll talk about gestures, eyes, posture, space, and feet. So the impact of communication came from the original study, which was done by Albert Mehrabian in California in 1972. Basically, this study showed that 55% of the impact of communication came from the body language, 38% from the way it was said, and just 7% from the words. Now, this study has been disproved by all sorts of further studies, by more MRI scanning, etc., except the body language is so important that whether it's 55, whether it's 40, whether the words are 20, it doesn't really matter. It just shows the impact of persuasion skills will be so powerful from the body language. And of course, all politicians know that, and if they didn't know that, they would never get elected, because the newspapers, the press, YouTube would pick up any incongruent body language at that point. That's a picture from my first book that I put in about body language. And what do you notice? What do we notice from that? We notice that they're sitting on opposite sides of the table. No, they're not. They're standing. They're pointing their finger. Be careful when you're persuading someone. Don't start pointing your finger. That's seen as a gun, as a weapon, etc. And also, clearly, it's a bit of a fun picture, but they're not doing very well. Now, I did some research into the left and right brain when 1980s and 1990s. And the left side of the brain works logic, reading, writing, maths, and analyzing. And the right side of the brain is visual information, body language, intuition, emotions, colors, and seeing the big picture. Ladies and gentlemen, the more tired we get, the more the left brain kicks in, and we stop noticing things. And therefore we need to notice things. Why it's really important to take someone with you to a negotiation or to a business meeting where you want to see where the other side's coming from. You want someone watching the body language, and you want, if you're concentrating on the left brain things, that you won't be watching the body language or seeing the big picture. You may have seen this before. It's called a Stroop test. A Stroop test says, look at the chart and say the color, not the word. And as you can see, that's pretty difficult, isn't it? Not to say yellow rather than green. And what actually happens is your right brain tries to say the color, but your left brain insists on reading the words. That's why we need to take a time out. That's why we need to de-emotionalize a situation where we're getting wound up ourselves. That's why we need a break. That's why you should never agree to something when you're emotional. You should stop, take a breather. Now I'd like to ask you, what relationship is the man on the phone with the three people he's talking to? One's his wife, one's the office, and one, I'm sad to say, is his lover. Which is which? So, office, wife,
office is the left,
lover. Everybody got that? Not everyone gets that. It's very interesting. When we're saying something to someone and we're not comfortable and we want to hide it, funnily enough, even though no one else can hear us, our body language moves into a posture where we can tell what the people are thinking about. And this is really helpful for us as body language readers, as leaders, as managers, as negotiators, because we want to know what the person's thinking, because we're going to get much better results if we know what they're thinking. What do you think my pal Justin Urquhart Stewart, who, by the way, is coming on the show on the 5th of October, I've just agreed to get him back on. What do you think he's thinking? Is he happy? No way. Is he bored? Is he about to fall asleep? Any of those. But ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say to you, if you look bored in a meeting and then you're going to try and persuade the rest of the meeting to do what you want, they will have picked up your boredom, and therefore you won't get what you want. You will not get your way. And the degree of boredom, they say, is the degree of the hand on the head on the hand. So moving on, one of the things I get people to do on my seminars, and I want you to do it, how many people have got a watch on? If you've got a watch on, I want you to take it off, please, and put it on the other wrist. This is not negotiable. You've got to do it. Put it on the other wrist. How does that feel? Feels really odd, doesn't it? Feels really odd. Why do I get people to do that? I get people to do that because it brings people back into the now. It takes them out of their unconscious mind, brings them back into in the now and thinking, well, have I got my watch on the wrong wrist? It feels really awkward. And when you go into a negotiation or a business meeting, if you're saying to yourself, I want to watch the body language here, I want to watch how people are reacting, what they're thinking, then we have to do things differently. What I recommend to you is that you make a little note in your book, in your magic book, in your nice book that you take into meetings, in very small, today we're going to watch the body language. Okay, so the next section two, is about first impressions. And I know I've talked about this before, but I'll keep talking about it because people usually mess up the first impression. It's really interesting. On this call to Indianapolis last night, Tim had a jacket on and I didn't show up with a jacket. And I felt at a disadvantage. And I said, shall I go and get a jacket? He said, no, that's all right. You can always dress down, but you can't dress up, which is why I put a jacket on there. So you don't want to be at a disadvantage. All these small things make a massive difference. Of course, I put in handshake there, which we can't do, but whether it's an elbow nudge or a fist pump or whatever, it's really important, that first impression, smiling, being dressed properly for the success you want, having a nice pen, not a chewed up biro as some people have, good accessories, you look good, you feel good, and then you project the appropriate energy for the situation. That's Lauren. She's well dressed. You're negotiating with her. How are you getting on with the negotiations? Not very well. She's got her eyes pouted. She's got a pouted mouth. She's got her arms folded. I'd like you all to just sit back for a minute and fold your arms, please. Okay, this is not negotiable. You've got to do it. Sit back, fold your arms. How many of you got your left arm over your right arm? Fantastic. How many people are right arm over left? Do you know what it means if you've got your left arm over your right arm? It means that you're incredibly sexy. Lots of research have been done into this, and I'm afraid bad news for you. If you've got your right arm over your left arm, it means that you're incredibly good looking. But why did I do that? That wasn't the point. I want you to fold your arms the other way now, please. How does that feel? Feels really strange, doesn't it? It feels really strange. In fact, some people can't even do it. They go flapping around like this. Why did I get you to do that again? Because if you're going to be in a difficult situation, difficult negotiation, you want to read the body language, you need to remind yourself to get outside your comfort zone and do things that you didn't do. Get out of that mindset of doing that. So there's Lauren again. What's that body language tell us? What does this body language tell us? Hands on hips, ready to go. That's a great way of feeling confident, of being confident, of increasing the adrenaline in your system. And those of you that have watched the YouTube clip by Amy Cuddy, AMYCUDDY, will know that's a great way of buzzing yourself up before a meeting. Hands on hips, making your body bigger, just like a dog or a cat does when it's under threat. So back to first impressions. I got some badges printed because I knew people were so bad. Some of my clients at the first impressions, I got some badges printed to give to them, and it says Director of First Impressions. So rather than having it receptionist or whoever on the door, make them the Director of First Impressions. And it's their job to make sure everything is fantastic. The answer phones are brilliant. The emails are superb, etc., etc. So you come across as a real professional. And take a look at what you do, your answer phone message, how it comes across, etc. And when I was in Dallas Airport, there was this Virgin plane with the back of it from Richard Branson, you never forget your first time. And I love that. And you know, with me being interested in psychology, I've always been interested why we remember our first kiss, we remember our first holiday, remember our first date, remember our first girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever. And then when a piece of music plays that was at number one in the charts, we also link back to them. And that's an anchor in psychology. So where do you sit? Where do you sit? And here we have the typical situation anywhere around the world. 80% of the meeting rooms look like this. People sitting across the table, too far apart to be at arm's length, etc., rather than round the table in a nice, friendly, win-win situation. Because all these little things to manage the people, manage the body language in any situation is vital to get a good result. And if you don't believe me, little things make a difference. Try sleeping with a mosquito. And I was at the Royal Horticultural Show at Tahampton Court last year, and this guy was trying to sell greenhouses. And I just could not believe that someone with glasses like that, where you can't see your eyes, was a professional salesman that had paid a lot of money to be at the RHS. And he had those stupid glasses on. So, of course, you know what Derek did. He has a sneaky look up and he gets his camera out down here and takes a picture of him. Because when people are doing stupid, crazy things like that, it's... and there's, I don't know, beards are very popular at the moment and lots of people have beards. But if you're in sales and if you're in influencing, you're hiding your face subliminally. If you hide your face from people subliminally, it may be more difficult to close the sale. I've had to stop doing that on saying that on seminars because quite a lot of people, the men, of course, I'm talking about, have beards. So now on to body language observation skills, and I'm going to move through these quickly. Again, have your radar on, look, listen, sense, stay silent. Is the body language congruent with what the people are saying? And is that contributing to seeing the whole picture when you start making decisions? I've shown you that before. I've shown that to a lot of people. I continue to show it to all sorts of people. That's the old lady. Is it the old lady? Is it the young lady that you see there? 60% of people see the young lady. 40% of people see the old lady. Some people see both. It doesn't matter. The point is, different people see different things, which is why in a difficult situation, you need to take somebody with you. So you get two judgments of what's in front of you. Well, what about that statement? Finished files are the result of years of scientific research together with the combination of very hard work. Just take a couple of seconds out, count the number of F's in that sentence and put it in the chat box. Gabby, can you pick up the chat box for me? Because I'm on full screen and I can't see the chat box. Thank you. So finished files are the result of years of scientific research together with a combination of very hard work, a statement by Bill Gates. So what's coming in the chat box, Gabby? And I'm sure some people have seen this before and they're cheating, but I think...
We've got a couple of sixes, a five...
Couple of sixes, a five, couple of threes.
No threes.
No threes. People have seen it before, maybe. So, ladies and gentlemen, I put this to you. I've shown this for a number of years. It's in my books. It's in psychology A-level textbooks. People tend not to see the F in of because they see the OF, but their brain says it's pronounced OV, and therefore there are the... six.
You told them all to be very aware, you see, so they've got their full radar.
Absolutely.
On.
And of course we've got the top people on this course. We got the I sent out 4,000 newsletters yesterday and we got the top 16 people on there. And again, you've probably seen this before. Most people can never see the arrow in FedEx because the awareness is not there, the radar is not there, and they don't see the clear arrow, which is in the five words. And of course it faces forward on the right-hand side of the van and on it faces backwards on the left-hand side. So raising your sensory awareness is crucial to your success. And somebody didn't believe me last week when I said that two sides in the Korean peace talks had sat and looked at each other for 4.5 hours asking after they asked the question, you know, what do you propose? And they said, well, what do you propose? And then they sat there for 4.5 hours. When we ask a good question, we've got to manage our body language, we've got to keep quiet and we've got to stay silent. We want to watch what's going on. Last section coming up, your space or mine. Space is a very interesting issue with body language as well. And space invaders, my space or yours, I like to talk about this. There's five distances. There's the intimate zone, 5 to 20 inches, where we'll let people into our space if it's a close family member and so forth. But most people will get very defensive if somebody else comes into their intimate zone. In fact, Gabby, I know you've walked people across the room at a party, haven't you, by just moving into their space, and they've backed off. Quite an interesting thing to do. Then you've got your personal zone, which is about 20 to 50 inches.
You need to get this in metric as well.
It was in metric. I changed it to inches because I thought that we had Americans, Brits, and just Gregor. So sorry, Gregor. That's and then we got the social zone, which is about 4 feet to 10 feet when you see it, people at networking events. Remember that arm's length is generally a Western society space for doing a deal. So that's why you don't want to sit across the desk more than arm's length. Then we got the public zone, which is about 10 feet. And of course, I've just added, we then got the COVID zone, which I don't think in this country anybody knows what it is really, because I was in London on Tuesday and some people are walking around you as if you got the plague and other people are bumping into you. So I wasn't really sure about that. And you can see the two ladies, or the picture I took of the two ladies. How far are they apart, do you think? Is the lady on the right invading the lady on the left space? I kind of think she probably is. But there's a little fun thing you can do, or you can share with people. If you want to intimidate people, if the lady on the left moved her coffee cup into the lady on the right space, probably 90% of the time, the lady on the right wouldn't be able to take her eye off of that cup because her space has been invaded and she'd want to move it, which is an amazing pattern interrupt if you just want to throw people out. So again, that's something you can do. Or if you're out to dinner with, if two people were out to dinner and one wanted to find out if the other one fancied the other one, move your wine glass into their space and see what happens. And if it stays there, then you're probably all right. And if it doesn't stay there, they won't be able to take their eyes off it and move it back. Okay, coming to the end, but stand-up meetings. I know we got one or two friends from the National Health Service here. Thanks for joining us. I saw this in the Telegraph. I'm a great fan of stand-up meetings. The reason I'm a great fan is they don't take very long. They're much quicker. You feel more confident if you're standing up. People don't get too comfortable. You've got a bit more adrenaline flowing. The blood is flowing better to your head and it's better for your back. And stand-up meetings don't take very long at all. I can't believe someone got £1 million bonus for suggesting something that's been in many, many personal development books over a number of years. But try it. People think you're a bit crazy, but that doesn't matter. We're crazy because we're listening to self-development tapes, books, and YouTube videos. So next time I do this, we can talk about the silent signals, we can talk about some gestures, we'll talk about eye contact, smiling again, because smiling takes 14 muscles, frowning takes 72, connecting, building rapport, some of the work from Bandler and Grindler on mirroring and matching, pacing and leading, cultural negotiations, which can be very interesting, and some fun things on there. I did go to a dinner where the Prime Minister of the UK was, well, she wasn't the Prime Minister at the time, and it was in the House of Commons, and you're not allowed to take photographs in the House of Commons. But you know me, I couldn't resist it. I wanted a picture, so I had my camera very quietly on the table, hidden bits. That's why the water jugs are in the way. And I was clicking away, pretending I wasn't doing anything. And she spotted me and she gave me one of these most evil looks. And I think she just looked away and I thought, oh my God, I'm being sussed and I'll be thrown out in a minute. So when she became Prime Minister, I decided to send her a copy of my book, Win-Win. And my wife said, you'll never get a reply to that. Sending the book, you're just wasting your time. And I got a charming reply back from her when I came back from holiday, and I didn't show my wife and say told you so, because that wouldn't be a smart move. So ladies and gentlemen, Texas Tim, my coach and mentor from Texas, says I have to be a bit more upfront with my marketing. If you've seen anything you like today, please like it on social media, email me at Derek Arden, or contact me to speak to any of your teams. But more importantly on this, watching it on YouTube, or the podcast, take some action, because action is the key. I'm going to stop sharing now, ask Gabby what she may have seen in the chat box, and take a little glass of water, because I've actually been talking for half an hour and I expected to talk for 20 minutes. Over to you, Gabby.
So there was something around the space, the social space, and whether having a table makes a difference. And yes, certainly a table does make a difference. Having any kind of barrier makes a difference. And it was mentioned that in dating, it's a way of sussing out if you are in rapport, if you are if the other person is attracted to you, by moving your cup along, or your wine glass, or whatever it is, into their space. If they don't do anything, then that's a good sign. If they then bring their cup into your space, then you know that you're onto a winner and that there is attraction there. So thank you for that, Tony. It's not been a great deal of chatter. There was also there was something about the table that was Rosie, so thank you for that. That does make a difference. I find it's quite interesting for space, because we're all slightly different. You know, the figures, although it's in inches, which means nothing to me, I have to say, the space, we're all unique, and people that live in the country tend to have a much bigger personal space to those that are in London. You know, you just need to go onto the tube in New York or London and everyone's in your space. So actually doing the handshake, which you mentioned at the very, very beginning, is very, very useful, because generally people will give you an indication of, you know, that's my personal space, thanks. And other people will bring you right in and shake your hand really closely, which you might feel uncomfortable with, but it indicates to you what they feel comfortable with.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Bob Greenaway has asked if we could have a Zoom style meeting and some body language with some backgrounds. Yes, we can, Bob. I've done one or two things on that, and I sent you an article which is just being published in Industrial Intelligence. Anyone who says to me you can't watch the body language on Zoom is kidding themselves and being lazy. They probably don't watch the body language in a meeting either. Of course you can, but you probably need someone with you to watch the body language. You probably need to take a time out and then phone them and then come back on the meeting. And you need to go outside the room, because that was that case with Barclays in June where they hadn't got Zoom switched off, and the lawyers said she's a bloody liar or something about this woman, Amanda Staveley, and they had to apologise to the judge the next day. So, but yeah, I'd be happy to do either a session with you, Bob, and some of your team, or we'll do a session on here if the others would like that. There's some people that are experts on Zoom on here, like Duncan and Tony and Mark, there's other people that aren't, so whatever you'd like, and let me know, and I'd be delighted to do it either on a Thursday or as a special session. Okay, no one's on mute, are they? So you can ask me any questions you...
Derek, I have a question with regard to social space. I don't know if this is true in the UK, but when men speak with each other, they don't speak face to face. When women speak with each other, they are very much face-to-face. But men try to go like this, because if we are face-to-face, that's known, at least in the States, as squaring off. And squaring off is something prior to fisticuffs. Is it true in the, especially if you're in personal space, which is within, in the US, within arm's length. If the other guy, and you don't know him, is within arm's length, facing you directly, almost every other man, unless he's trying to make a point, would take a step back.
No,
it's just not comfortable.
You're spot on, Tim. I think it's the same in the UK. I don't know whether it's the same in Eastern cultures, but I think in Western cultures it is. So it's important to approach a woman front on and a guy from the side. Now, sometimes I get that the wrong way around. I think I got that the right way round, Gabby, but it's absolutely right. And that's another reason not to sit across the table, one man against another one, because again, it becomes hugely competitive. Again, I'm told the research says that guys will start to pumping up a bit of testosterone at that point, which is why if you're around a table, and remember you're setting this up, it's crucially important, you want to set the meetings up, Bob, you want to set the Zoom up because you can record it. You've got the controls if you set the Zoom meeting up, and Zoom works better than Microsoft Teams because you can see everybody on a Zoom call. You can't see everybody on Microsoft Teams, I understand. So yes, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of little nuances like this, but they don't work across all cultures, which is why I wanted to do a separate session on cultures. The trick with cultures is to understand where you're going. And I bet cultures, Tim, are different in Dallas than they are in San Francisco, where Tony is, again. So yes, next question. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do in a minute. I'll turn the video off and stay on for questions as long as you like. I'd just like you to think of a number now between 0 and 10 and put it in the chat box where you feel you are on reading body language after this half an hour session, and how, what you're going to do differently. Because giving up your valuable time for something like this, therefore you should be implementing it and taking some action. Tim's a 9.5. He's gone down from a 10, I think.
But no, I was
no, he was before. 9. He was 9. Yeah. No, he's gone up. He's gone up. They've all gone up. That's all good.
I've never met a modest Texan yet.
and you're not going to meet one here today either.
They say in Texas, everything's bigger in Texas. That includes egos. So,
yeah. Is that right?
As we call BS. Yeah, exactly. It's all bigger. Yeah. Guys, hey, Derek. Well, I'll wait for the recording.
Tim, I'm just going to close it. Yeah. Thanks for joining us on YouTube. Thank you for joining me on the Negotiators podcast with 16 of my friends from all around the world that join me on a Monday and a Thursday. I do hope to hear from you. action@derekarden.co.uk, and make sure you up your sensory awareness and get that radar on so that you get better results from picking up body language. My name's Derek Arden. Thanks for joining me.